The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Jamad, we thank you for your testimony. But most of all, we thank God for Jesus, because we all got a testimony. We all got a story to tell. We didn't come here. We're not here because we've been so good, nor because we've done everything right, but because God is just that good. Amen. 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 Father God, we come in the name of Jesus to say thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your kindness, your grace, your mercy, for the fact that you've been better to us than we deserve. You've been better to us than we could ever be to ourselves. You've been good to us in spite of us. And for that, we say thank you. Lord, there's a whole lot going on in and around the world that is causing some people to be quenched in their spirit. Lord, we need you to loose somebody right now in the name of Jesus. Loose them from worry. Loose them from concern, because you've binded that stuff up in heaven. So bind us up right now in your love. Let us know that not only is it going to be all right, it's all right now. Oh, we love you today. We extol you. We magnify your holy, your precious, and your righteous name. Now, Lord, as I stand as a vessel, I ask that you would, I decrease, that you would increase in me. For, Lord, there is a word from heaven that must get out to your people. A lot of noise is being made around the world, and folk, it seems like your voice is being drowned out, but you said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And yet you're asking, if you say I'm your shepherd, why aren't you following me? We acknowledge that you still sit high and you are still on the throne. Lord, this is our prayer, and it is truly in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Let every heart say amen. 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 Keep playing, but just bring it down. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you would do so. The Lord has given me a message, a strong message, that I'm not going to be able to finish on today. And it has nothing to do with, it has nothing to do with the things that we have to get done. It's just a matter of fact that God has said it's not necessary to try to force all of this out. So it's going to be a short mini series. So the Lord willing, we'll finish it up next week, but we're going to have a strong start on today. I need everybody to be praying. I need everybody to be on one accord, because the Bible says, let he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And the ear, not only are these ears on either side of our head, but you need to be listening with the ears of your heart and your spirit. Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. The New King James Version of the Bible says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Amen, 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 amen. The NIV, that was the New King James Version. The NIV reads this way. It says, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth. going back and forth on it. I got one more translation. New Living Translation says, one day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord. And the accuser, Satan, came with him. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord. Watch this. He said, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Now, before you take your seat and I give you the title, there's a lot happening in the world. It's a lot of people speaking and a lot of folk listening to people speak. But Keeling, the book of Job is a powerful book, and it's a book about a man that has gone through some tests and some trials. Usually when we read these verses here in Job chapter 1, we've read verse 6 and verse 7 plenty of times. But usually we rush to verse 8 because, of course, there's a dialogue going on between Satan and the Lord. And so Lord asked Satan, Satan answered the Lord, and the Lord says in verse 8, have you tried my servant Job? And so we jump off. And from Job 1 verse 8 through the end of the book, we read about the trials and tribulations of Job. But Sister Cargill, we need some voices to stand tall in these days and times as the voices and vessels of proclamation and prophecy in this dispensation. So the Holy Spirit had me pump the brakes right here. Griffith, I asked myself the question. I wondered whether or not the brother angels, the sons of God, I'm in the Word of God, the heavenly court, I wonder whether or not they were aware that Satan was in their midst. The Bible doesn't say. And so I asked myself, I said, well, if they knew, what in the world they're allowing the devil to hang out in their network? But I'm leaning more towards the fact that they didn't know, Lampkin. And so I wondered whether or not they were shocked to know that the devil was in their midst. So for a little while on today, and I'm going to conclude it tomorrow because we got to talk about it. Consider the subject. We need to know when the Lord reveals the spirit of some folk in your midst. You may be seated in the presence of our God. We want to talk about when the Lord reveals the spirit of some folk in your midst. Brown, every now and then, the Lord will reveal the true spirit of some folk around you. And when he does, can I tell you something? You need to believe it. Did you catch what I just said? Every now and then, the Lord will reveal the true spirit of some folk around you. And when he does, believe it. If you were not sure before, it should be crystal clear now that mankind is in the midst of a spiritual war with the kingdom of God on one side and Satan and his demons on the other. A vicious battle is being waged for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls in the spiritual realm. Let me say that again. I said that there's a vicious battle being waged for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls in the spiritual realm. In other words, I got to stand tall. What is going on today? This is bigger than monuments and statues. Teach, Holy Ghost. This is bigger than whether you're going to kneel or stand for the national anthem. This is bigger than how long it took the White House or the president to say something or not say something in response to the vicious clash a few weeks ago in Charlottesville, Virginia, between vile white supremacists, neo-Nazis, KKK, and other hate groups on one side, and the anti-racist counter-protesters on the other. This is bigger than whether or not what the president said on one day was said from the teleprompter, but then it was revealed that the next day was from his heart. Amen, amen, amen. This is bigger than Twitter, Facebook, all these other stuff going on. Listen, all of this stuff is diversions from the real thing that's going on in the spirit realm. The devil is seeking to corrupt and destroy individual believers, churches, and entire nations. His ultimate intention is to destroy the work of God and to lead the whole world in rebellion against God. The Bible says that he's roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it, going to and fro. Matter of fact, the New Living Translation says he's patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. From the White House to the church house, at school, on your job, in your social circles, your network, etc. The truth is, my brothers and my sisters, we done got too comfortable. We think just because folk done got buddy-buddy. The Bible says that the angels were in heaven. That means they were all there together. It says that the brothers were there, but Satan came along with them. Every now and then, that spirit will blend in with you. Amen. And we done got comfortable. The reason I know we got comfortable is because we haven't done as 1 Peter 5 and 8 has told us to do. And that is be sober. Come on, somebody. Be vigilant. Stay alert. And watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, watch this, looking for someone. He needs someone. He needs somebody. Looking for someone to devour. That's why every now and then, Clark, the Lord will reveal the true spirit of some folk around you. It might shock you. It might even cause your feelings to be hurt. But when he does reveal it, believe it. Somebody should say, thank you, Lord. Because we didn't know. Amen. We didn't know. Amen. But you should say, thank you, Lord. The earth seems to be the special field of the devil's activity. But there are two spheres, if you will, in which he functions. First of all, he operates in his own children. You shouldn't be shocked about that. The devil operates in his own children. But surely he also operates against the children of God. From the fall of Adam until the advent of Christ, Satan has been given a dispensation to bind the nations. I'm going to follow that up with scripture. I'm teaching up in here. He has been given a dispensation to bind the nations. Watch this. That's why. That's why Satan was able to offer Christ the kingdoms of the world during the temptation in the wilderness. Teach, Holy Ghost. Why? Think about this for a moment. Think about it. Jesus didn't correct Satan with his offer. Mm-mm. He didn't correct him. He didn't say, these aren't your words. No, he knows what the scripture said. He didn't correct him. He simply refused the offer. Satan is the god of this world. And he greatly influences the actions of human beings. Now, still subject to God's overruling power, the fact of the matter is he has been allowed to strike at nations and influence the behavior of earthly rulers. God right now is clearly showing how Satan has set fallen spirits over various worldly governments who have great influence and power over their activities. But God is also showing how the devil has used civil authority to war against the followers of Christ. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. It says, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. See, that's, I don't care who says it. You can't call that fake news. Come on, somebody. Mm-mm. But you also won't find that on Twitter. You won't find that on Facebook. You won't find that on CNN or Fox News. Mm-mm. So what we better do, my brothers and my sisters, we better get our heads back into the Word of God and stop trolling and scrolling on social media, stalking folks' personal page to find out what they're doing. Quit trying to find that out and quite find out what thus saith the Lord. The Bible shows that God desires that all his children grow up in character and power to conform to the image of Christ. So because of your potential and my potential and all of our potential to grow more like Christ and to advance the kingdom of God, those who follow Jesus are under some great demonic attack like never before. So we got to talk about it here. We're going to talk about what are some of the strategies, what are some of the tactics, how does Satan blend in with folk, it seems unbeknownst, that he uses to harm the kingdom of God. First one, number one, is a big one. First of all, the devil, he tempts. Amen. Satan, y'all giving the wrong title to the wrong folk. Satan is the one behind the temptations of mankind. Scripture is full of examples of his strategy, such as, of course, when he tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, and then he tempted Adam through Eve. Judas, the disciple of Jesus, who betrayed him, and then, of course, Satan himself tempted Jesus himself in the wilderness. We need to understand that believers really don't have the power to resist the devil on their own, so stop it. Although God allows Satan to tempt Christians, he also provides us a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. Who, Jesus? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The question is, what are you staying and hanging around in that God said it's time for you to escape? Amen. Not only does he tempt, another thing he does is the devil, Miss Wendy, he deceives. Satan knows that to persuade anybody walking down the road of destruction with him, can I tell you something? He understands that he must coerce them, to agree with his precepts, his teachings, or his principles. Listen, he ain't forcing folk to go to hell. They deciding that on their own. He can't force anybody to enter into a life of evil. But what he does, though, is he relies on deception. Again, in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12, this time, verse 9, it says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." What the devil does is he creates doubt and deceptions in people's minds, and he twists up what God says in order to deceive them and tempt them into sinning. I got to go back to the original book of Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field," it says, "which the Lord God had made." You need to know, do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, even the devil was created by God." Serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, now there's a dialogue going on. Be careful who you're talking to. And that's why every now and then you don't know who you're talking to. Says, and the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." But then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows then in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Verse 6 says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," wait a minute, here it is, "that it was pleasant to the eyes." Somebody should say, "Have mercy up in here." Said, "And wait a minute, here it is, and a tree desirable to make one wise." It says, "She took up its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Listen. I've said it time and time and time again. I don't care if it's four wheels, pumps, or heels. Come on, somebody. Chocolate cake or crack cocaine. An attitude or an addiction. Every day we need to be saying, "Lord, help me to choose the harder right than the easier wrong." I say it again. Because this stuff is desirable. It's pleasing on the eyes. But you better pray, "Lord, help me right now. If you've ever called on Jesus, you better call on him then. Help me right now in the name of Jesus to choose the harder right than the easier wrong." He tempts, he deceives, he twists and distorts the word of God. I'm going to get to that one a little later. But a third one is he's a counterfeiter. You need to know, children of God, that the devil can perform all kinds of counterfeit signs and wonders and miracles. And he'll use every sort of evil to accomplish his plans. He is an evil spirit whose number is legion. You got to know what that means. That means he's got a multitude of masses. And he has been phenomenally successful in seducing untold numbers of people, watch this, from their allegiance to God, Sister Graham. That's why I said earlier, I'm about to go down this path right here. So I said earlier that he's distorting the issues. But what our true pledge of allegiance should be. You see, what we need to unveil is that the devil is seducing folk from their allegiance to God. So even if you do stand with your hand over your heart to the American flag, and I do, but I do as an allegiance to God first, because even when some folks stand in allegiance to the flag, that doesn't mean that their allegiance is to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 said, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Look here. Folk can stand with a tiki torch and stand in allegiance to the flag. Because they said this land belongs to them. And they do it all in the name of patriotism. We got the nerve. Folk want to black out the NFL because they mad about whether or not the NFL is being harsh to Colin Kaepernick. This is bigger than Colin Kaepernick. This has to, I don't know nothing about Colin Kaepernick's allegiance. So when folk want to argue with me, I don't know him. I know who God is. Colin Kaepernick ain't big enough to draw folk from their allegiance to God. Whether or not he wants to kneel to the flag, that's on him. I'm dealing with folk, and God is dealing with folk in the heart. Too much counterfeit going on. Too much confusion. Another big one is then what happens is he distorts the word of God. He tempts. He deceives. He's a counterfeiter, and he distorts the word of God. Satan, watch this, is clearly an intelligent being who knows the scriptures and will try to misuse them to suit his own plans. Come on now. He quoted scripture to Jesus. Come on, y'all. Y'all need some Bible readers. He quoted scripture to Jesus, and he knows the future which God has revealed through his prophets. We got the nerve to be ducking, shucking, and jiving with Jehovah's Witnesses, and they don't even read from our Bible. But the devil, who does read our Bible, knows our Bible because he knows we don't read it. We getting sucked in. We pulling the shades down, running, hiding under the bed from Jehovah's Witnesses. And the devil is right in our midst. Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 5 and 6. It says, then the devil took him up, talking about Jesus, into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That's word. If you're taking notes, write this down. Temptation is only a question. Your response is the answer. Have mercy. I say it again. I don't care what temptation looks like, smells like, feels like. Come on, somebody. sounds like temptation is only a question, your response is the answer. The devil tempts Jesus. He says, if you are the Son of God, for it is written. So look at the rest of the text. Temptation is only a question. Look at Jesus' response as the answer. Verse 7 said, Jesus said to him, it is written again. On some translations just say, it is written also. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, of course, it says in the book somewhere that it says resist the devil and he shall what? But it doesn't say how far. So there's a dialogue going on. The devil gives Jesus scripture. Jesus gives scripture back to the devil. So y'all think when y'all answer with somebody with some scripture, well, the Bible says, y'all think that's good enough and that devil y'all dealing with is going to be gone. But guess what? The devil is still in your face. And he coming back at you with more scripture because he trying to figure out if you read past the book of Genesis. The devil knows the Bible. So Jesus answered him in verse 7 and so verse 8 says, and again. New King James, it says, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he said to him in verse 9, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. Here it is, for it is written, ye shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Verse 11 says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. You best believe, if it takes angels to minister to Jesus after dealing with the devil, come on, somebody. It's no wonder sometimes you're so tired when you get home from work. Come on, somebody. And it just might be that you tired when you come home from church. And then all of it has got to do with praise and worship. The Bible says that the angels came before the Lord God, and it says, and Satan what? Came along with them. Temptation is only a question. Your response is the answer. Let God, rather than your feelings, rule your life. Trust God, not your feelings. As a matter of fact, God really is not that concerned about our feelings. And that's why you got to be careful what you say in church. When you say, I feel like praising him, well, what if you don't feel like it? Is he still worthy of your praise? See, we got to be careful what we say. Trust, let God lead you rather than your feelings. Amen. As I get ready to close, there is one great contrast between an airplane and every other form of locomotion and transportation. Stay with me through here. A horse and wagon, an automobile, a bus, a bicycle, a locomotive, a speedboat, even a great big ocean liner. Think about this for a moment. All of those things I just named, absent of the airplane, all of those things I just named can come to a standstill without any danger, and they can all reverse their engines or their power, and they can go back. But there is no reverse for an engine on an airplane. It can't back up. If you've ever flown a plane, when it wants to come out the gate, it has to be pulled out. there is no reverse on an airplane. Listen, it can't back up, and in flight, an airplane dare not stand still. If it loses its momentum and forward drive, the ultimate end will be a crash. The only way for a plane to be safe in the air is when it's moving forward. Well, in much the same way, the only safe direction for the Christian to take is forward. If they stop or they begin to slip back, go backwards, or even feel like they got time to stand still, well, in that moment, in that very moment, you can be caught in some danger. In the years before the Civil War, the Northern United States abounded with movements for social change, reformers and reform organizations. They created new institutions such as prisons and asylums and orphanages, and they sought to transform the public schools to eradicate social ills such as prostitution and drunkenness in order to strengthen the family life and to reform the system of support for the poor. Now, many of these reform agendas have modern counterparts and attempts to redefine welfare, attack drug addiction, spousal abuse, and contain crime. But the two most controversial reform movements and the ones which struck the deepest at the foundations of American society were the campaigns for the abolition of slavery and equality of women. Both movements, of course, have had very complicated histories since they've been full of triumph and disappointment. The abolitionists saw their immediate goals realized through the cataclysmic violence of the Civil War. The 13th Amendment emancipated the slaves, and the 14th and 15th Amendment gave citizenship and civil rights to freed blacks. See, we need to know what we're fighting for. Folk getting mad and don't know what they're mad about. But the South's freedmen, were abandoned by the North in the 1870s, and they didn't win back their rights for nearly a century until the Civil Rights Movement of the 1950s and 60s ended legal segregation and exclusion from politics. Female abolitionists who were committed to both causes had their hopes painfully shattered when the 14th Amendment enfranchised black men but explicitly denied the vote to women by introducing the word male into the Constitution for the first time. But after its ratification in 1868, women had to wait another 50 years to win their right to vote. 70 years of political struggle for women's right to vote finally won passage of the 19th Amendment in 1920. Many of the issues that these two movements grappled with are still with us today. The United States of America is a subtly less racially unequal society than it was in the 19th century or at the end of the Second World War. But Americans still struggle with the meanings of justice and equality. We also struggle with how to implement them in this modern society. Thus, Americans remain divided over a whole lot of questions about blacks, minorities, and the women's role in society. We, the people, we got comfortable. We got comfortable with reformation and thought everything was good because they let us in their schools, gave us some jobs, paid us a little bit of money, gave us some titles, until the Lord started revealing some spirits in the midst of some folk trying to take us back. And the problem is we have been standing still. That's why he warns us not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, there's a difference between reformation and transformation. See, when you stand on reformation, you are susceptible to being taken back. But when you are transformed, you can't go back to who you used to be and what used to be. But we stand on reformation and not transformation. And God wants to continue moving you, me, and us as a people, moving forward, being transformed to the image of Christ. So I need to ask you, what spirit is or what spirits are the Lord revealing right now in your midst? And what are those spirits that you might have to leave behind in order for you to move forward and progress in your life? You may have to leave behind, hear me today, you may have to leave behind some views of other people. Things like biases when it comes to social strata. Quit being so shocked. Yes, there are still actually people in 2017 who believe that because of race, order of birth, place of birth, or the family that they were born into, that they are more worthy than other people. Yes, they are even on your job, in your schools, in your social circles, in your network, in your political party, whether Democrat or Republican. I get shocked when they get so shocked. On your favorite team, they wearing your favorite team's jersey, and yes, even in your church. Every now and then, the Lord will reveal the true spirit of some folk in your midst. But when he does, believe it. Don't worry about whether what they said or didn't say was true. You just need to know what the truth is, because the truth will set you free. But the thing to remember about anybody you might be dealing with or who might be dealing with you, and there's some folk you're going to have to deal like this. You're going to have to. And for some of y'all that didn't know what I was doing, that's a long... May the Lord watch between me and thee. But the thing to remember in the midst of all these things is that Jesus died so that all mankind's sins can be forgiven. Leaving these sorts of things behind allows us to grow in our relationships with each other, and most importantly, in our relationship with God. The devil is subtle, and he's got us running down rabbit holes every time something goes out on Twitter. And he got us chasing around about whether or not we're going to tear down or take down this statue. And we're not dealing with folks' hearts. We're not dealing with the issues. And what is it that's really keeping us enslaved? Half of it has got to do with our own minds, our own spirits, and our own understanding. Amen. But God has got to reveal this stuff. Because we done got buddy. God has said, this ain't shocking me. But I don't need you to stand and be shocked either. We are in the last of the last days. And the devil is the god of this world. So quit trying to watch this. Quit trying to correct the devil. Quit trying to correct what he's offering you. And you just start refusing the offer. Amen. Next week, we're going to talk about some more stuff because we got to open up blinded eyes. We got to pull the cover back and pull the lids up on our minds and our understanding. To God be the glory. To God be the praise.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.